Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, worship team. Can we give them a hand? These guys work so hard and do such a great job leading us in worship. We appreciate you guys a lot. That's awesome. I love that song. We sing that one in youth group, and the kids just shout that part. I ran out of that place and out of that grave, and that is a powerful declaration. It makes me see the tomb of Lazarus differently, you know, like instead of him just like stumbling out like a mummy, he heard Jesus' voice and he went running. He heard the voice of life and he went running, ran out of that grave. That's just awesome. God is so good. Well, as you notice, there's no Pastor Thomas and Amity here this morning. We've been talking about atmosphere, by the way. They're enjoying a very special atmosphere in Disneyland. I think it's, or Disney World, right? Disney World. So I know they've been saving for a long time. Amity never been in her life, so there they are. Man, that's a tall Chewbacca. That's the real deal right there, man. Makes Pastor T look like one of the little kids. He's got his hand on his head. So they're having a great time. Keep praying for them that God would just refresh them. I know whenever they're gone on a Sunday, they wish their hearts are here. They're always texting me, how things go and all that stuff. But we just pray for refreshing, for restoration for them, and just for a great time with their family. So my boys freaked out because there was a moment where, if you guys saw on the video on Instagram, Aaron got stopped by two stormtroopers. And they checked his identification card, and they were, like, talking to him and everything. And my boy's like, stormtroopers are real. They watched it, like, 25 times. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is, like, and it was, like, these are real stormtroopers. And they really did check Aaron's identification card. And so they are, I think they would probably spend their life savings right now to go down there and meet some real stormtroopers. Like, if nothing else, stormtroopers are real. So there you go. Well, I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what God's put in my heart. I just finished preaching the Momentum class, so if there's a carryover, I apologize. Sometimes when you're working on two messages, it kind of can blend together. Some of this you might have even heard going through Momentum, but I believe it's going to be what God has for us this morning. I'm going to work out two passages of Scripture. We're going to be Matthew 23, verse 25, and then Proverbs 4, and we'll go there in just a minute. But let's pray, just invite God to speak to our hearts, because what I know is amazing about God is no matter what I share, sometimes people come up and tell me things that God told them or showed them, and it wasn't even what I had in my notes. So I'm like, that's really good. You need to remember that, whatever that. And so God's got something for every single one of you. And I want to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to be the teacher this morning. So let's do that. Father God, Lord, I know that in and of my own strength, these are just words and they have no power. But when you come in the room, Holy Spirit, when you come as our teacher, you bring to remembrance all things, God. You are the one that begins to change us and bring words that have life, that are living and active, Father. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way with us this morning. Let our hearts be teachable to the point where we step out of here and we can't help but begin to walk in it, to do what you've called us to do, to step into new levels of faith, of walking out the life you've called us to, this kingdom life on this earth, Jesus. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you give me ears to hear, Father, to be sensitive to where you lead me this morning. Lord, that I speak your words and your words alone. God, we just release this morning to you, and we thank you for the opportunity to freely share your word in this body of believers, in this family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Pastor T gave me the freedom today to kind of do a one-off message. He's been talking about atmosphere a lot. And, you know, I was like, okay, I appreciate that. But then God just really started to speak to me to continue this and to take another step in the area of atmosphere. We've been talking about shifting the atmosphere, and I believe, and I'm seeing in the spirit and in this place, atmosphere changing. I'm seeing lives changing. I'm seeing people that are getting awakened to the life God's called them to outside these walls, which is, man, that's when it gets real. When the church starts to step outside these walls and be the church and say, there's victory for me. And if there's victory for me, there's victory for my neighbor. There's victory for my coworker. There's victory for my parents, for my kids. God's got a life. He's called us to that affects everything, not just Sunday morning, not just getting a fix. It's about a new life in Christ. And I'm seeing that. We're seeing people set free and baptized, and we're seeing people healed, and I'm so thankful. And I want to continue to lean in. One of the ways I believe, one of the reasons I believe God's beginning to move in this way is the way as a family this year we've set our hearts to pray. We started this year with 7 days of prayer and fasting, and then that we were like, man, this we can't stop this. So we started continuing it. We have a Wednesday night, Wednesday at lunch, every single Wednesday. You are all invited if you can come, if you work in Lawrence. I know not everybody does. We have a noon to one prayer time at the church, and that has been like the midweek, like fuel of my week. It's amazing what God's doing that time. We have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and there's other people. There's Sunday morning prayer, and that they pack out the library. And I know that's not it. That's just the groups. I know God's been activating and igniting you guys to pray and to be in his presence on a regular basis. And so I think that right there is a big part of why we're beginning to see breakthrough. And I want to encourage you to lean in and not stop pursuing God. Don't just get along for the ride. Get to the front of the line. Jump back in. Go as hard as you can into his presence, boldly into the throne room to see what God has for you and for your life and for your family. He's doing stuff. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want to miss out on a single bit of it. Today I want to talk about the atmosphere of relationships. The atmosphere of relationships. And how many of you know relationships have atmosphere? When you go, you can say, man, that was just awkward around them. Have you ever heard people say that? Or that was really tense. They're not talking, they're talking about relationships, right? They're talking about, or maybe you like, that was really lively, or man, whenever I get back from hanging out with them, I'm just kind of depressed. There's an atmosphere. Sometimes it's joyful. There's people that just make you happy and you can't help but smile when you're around them. That there's an atmosphere. And you know, when people talk about things like toxic work environment, they're not talking about wearing a hazmat suit to work, right? There's something going on in the relational atmosphere of that place. This is a big deal. Atmosphere of our relationships is important. In fact, I think it affects us in every area of life. If you look at even the Ten Commandments, every Ten Commandment has to do with relationship. Every one of them, either with God or with people. And so God's got an opinion. Think about that for a minute. How you relate to people, how you interact with people, covetousness, murder, even those have to do with relationships. How do you relate to God and to others? That's why the Bible says that all the commandments are summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two relationships. And relationships are huge. God has an opinion about how we live relationship with him and with each other, doesn't he? Yeah? Yeah, okay, good. It's amazing how even James in the communion time started talking about the atmosphere of his home when he gets home. Some days it's really chaotic and it's just like, oh, and other days it's peaceful and he's able to connect with people. There's a difference in the atmosphere. How many of you guys have maybe relationships in your life that you want to change? The atmosphere of a relationship in your life that you want to see change? Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe it's the way your kids interact with each other. In your family dynamics in the home. Maybe it's in your workplace. And there's things like, man, I just wish we could break through with that, or an issues with your boss, or maybe it's between you and God. Maybe you feel like there's a lid on your life right now between you and the Lord. Maybe there's different ways atmosphere of relationships affect us, don't they? And it makes us want to draw near and go and be with people or to shy away from people. It affects us. Oftentimes we want things around us to change. We want our environment and the people around us to change, but we forget the key part of that is God beginning to change us. There are impurities in my heart that affect that relationship. It's not just everybody around me, right? And today I'm gonna meddle a little bit. I'm gonna dig in a little bit, and then we're gonna find God's solution. So I want to just encourage you to just be open, be willing to hear what I have to say and see what God wants to do in you. That's why he talks about taking the plank out of our eye before we try to deal with the speck in our neighbor's eye. Most of the time we think we got the speck and they got the plank. But It's not what God said. It's not what the word says. I want to dive into a verse. We're going to go to Matthew 23, starting verse 25. Now, I just got a disclaimer on this. Well, not a disclaimer. This is a verse where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, okay? Sometimes we skip over the Pharisee verses because it's the bad guys, and we're not the bad guys, you know, and so that must not apply to us. Have you ever done that? Like, oh yeah, that's the Pharisees. I was like the disciples, you know, I'm the one giving up my everything to follow Jesus, and that's the Pharisees. But how many of you guys know sometimes when I slow down and I don't skip those parts, I start to say, maybe there's something in me that can be a little bit pharisaical, and I need to learn something from this. Not to be condemned, but to be set free, okay? This is not about condemnation. Condemnation is a cloud the enemy puts over you just to say you're guilty, you're a bad person, all those things. God's conviction is specific. He points to something that he wants to deal with, like a surgeon removing a tumor. That's a conviction. So don't let the enemy condemn you today, make you just feel like a bad person, but say, God, what is it that you want to look at in me? What is that speck or log, whichever one you want to say? It's specific, okay? And let him work in that area today. So let's go to Matthew 23, starting in verse 25. It's going to be really exciting here. You ready? What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. It's positive, right? You feeling good right now? For you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish. Inside, you're filthy and full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. I want you to remember that word impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. It's real quiet in here. You know, isn't it true that people, the nature of humanity is to spend a lot of enormous amounts of effort trying to look good on the outside? Isn't it true? If you look good on the outside, if you have your lawn mowed with no dandelions, and your kids are behaving, that's not my lawn, by the way, and you put on the right clothes, and you say the right things to your boss at work, and you go to church, and your kids really behave for that 35, like at least in the hallway from the door to the check-in, then they're their problem. But for that time, they better behave, they better not run, they got to do this. You know, we have this effort we spend to make things look good, not without necessarily dealing with the inside. And Christians, we do this too. We come to church and we act happy. You know, I remember a girl one day, a couple months ago, she was crying. God was touching her heart. She's like, I hate to cry in church. And I was thinking, I told her, I'm like, this is the place you're supposed to be able to cry. This is the place you're supposed to be able to be real and to be open and to let God transform you so that you can go out of there healed and set free and delivered. But we put on a mask and a shield over our hearts so we leave the same. And we're tired and exhausted after church because we were putting up a mask the whole time. It's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to live this life fully alive and shining bright. We talk about it. It's not just a dream. It's a reality for those that let God begin to deal with us and let God begin to make us more like Jesus. We're not supposed to fake it till we make it. You know, we even do it when we have people over. We're having a baby shower at our house today, all right? So like 20 ladies are going to come over to our house. And so what does that mean? It means everything that's on the floor needs to go into a closet somewhere, right? Like, I don't care where you put it. You just got to get this place clean. So let's get this, let's vacuum, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the reality is, like, the rest of the week, the stuff's on the floor. The shoes are by the door, and then we have to clean up because people are coming over, and they can't see I saw this really funny YouTube about how you can't make people think we live here. Like it's like this crazy mom, and that's not my wife, by the way. I'm not saying that. She's amazing. Just got to say that, or I might be sleeping on that couch that I cleaned up today. You know, but you know, Jesus has this way of walking into the into the rooms of your heart and going right to that closet. You're like, no, Jesus, wait. Hold on, I cleaned everything else up for you. Look, see how the floor's vacuumed. I don't have anything in here. And then he's like, well, what's in there? And you're like, that nothing. You don't need to worry about that. And he's like, no, I do. I really want to see what's in there. I want to see your whole house. I want your whole heart. I want my light and the freedom, the way I've washed you white as snow, to be every part of your life, not just some. Not just the visible parts. I want to be there in your quiet moments. I want to be there when your thought life, what you do when your kids go to bed. I want to change the atmosphere of you so that then I'll begin to change the atmosphere of your relationships. See, you guys, we know this. We know Christianity is not about looking righteous. But sometimes we fall in the trap of a Pharisee where they worked so hard on the outside. Man, they spent enormous effort. They memorized the Bible. They had 600 plus extra laws to help them follow the first 10 laws. I mean, that's a lot of effort. I mean, I would quit before I started when I saw that list. I'm like, forget this. If this life is about following rules, if Christianity is about following rules, it's going to kill us. But we sometimes default to rules rather than relationship and letting him work in our heart on a daily basis. It starts on the inside. Oftentimes with relationships, we want God to change our external atmosphere. We want God to change the people around us without dealing with the internal atmosphere of our heart. We want our circumstances to change we want God to rescue us from our circumstances instead of changing us through our circumstances. Is that true? God's calling us to walk with him through life. And that means that we go through the valley of the shadow of death and the green pastures. And we let him be with us in both places. And we don't run from our problems. We let him transform us through those trials. And relationships are one of those areas God reveals impurities, doesn't he? How many of you guys know it's amazing how God can use our family and our kids or our parents or our siblings to reveal things in us? And we just say they're pushing our buttons, and so then we blame them for pushing our buttons, right? Am I getting real? And how many of you guys know, like, my kids reveal my heart. They start to say the things that I said in the past. Sometimes they amplify it a little bit. Like, no, I didn't. I wasn't that strong when I said that. You know, like, my son will begin to correct his brothers the way I did. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, did I really sound like that? Did I really react like that when they spilled their milk? You know, did I really do that? And it's like it's revealing things in me. And even our coworkers can reveal things. Our spouse, you know, sometimes I've just, my wife, obviously we marry people that are a little different than us, typically, right? God has a way, like, you know, there's those match finders like eHarmony and stuff like that, and they're trying to make everything match so you have no conflict. And it never works because we're different. And so my wife and I, sometimes my reaction of impatience or anger or being short, really it's just exposing something in me. And I don't like it, so I get angry at her. Has this happened to anybody else? Does your kids, they expose something in you? Okay, good. Okay, great. I need to get you up here to preach, brother, because you got this figured out, man. Yeah. You know, have we ever considered maybe God's putting all these people in our lives, pushing our buttons to expose the buttons? And we ask ourselves, we blame others for pushing our buttons, but we never ask the question why we have the buttons to begin with. And thank you, Jesus, as he works in our heart and as he works through us in life, I believe I have less buttons today than I did 10 years ago by the grace of God. And I believe the same for you. God sets us free from glory to glory. It's a process of sanctification, right? So we're not going to be perfect today. But whatever I want to ask you, whatever he begins to bubble up and expose today, would you let him take it? Remove the button so it doesn't get activated by the relationships around you. What do we do when those things rise to the surface in relationships? When our relationship atmosphere, the people around us begin to expose things, what do? Do we run from it and shove it back down? Do we yell at them and hold them at arm's length? Or do we go to our quiet place with God and let him begin to deal with our heart? Do we go back to our kids? Man, something I learned that's been one of the best things I learned in my life was how to ask my kids for forgiveness. How to go to them and say, you know what? God's a perfect father. I'm still learning from him how to be a good daddy. Would you forgive me for yelling at you for something that wasn't worth it? And that right there is me dealing with a button. It's real. They made a mistake. But what is it that was in me that reacted that strong and didn't help them through the process, to teach them through the process instead of yelling? It's the same thing with our spouses, with any other relationship, with our coworkers. Man, imagine the next time you have a conflict with that difficult coworker and you walk into their office and say, hey, I really just handled that wrong. Would you forgive me? Do you think that's going to change the atmosphere of that relationship? It's not easy. It's only by the power of Jesus that we can do this. And the reality is we have to begin to walk that out. That's what we're called to be as Christians. We're not called to get a ticket to heaven and then stay the same inside. He wants to sanctify us, which is a process of becoming more like Jesus. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. And sometimes I've said this before, that as Christians, we're experts at conviction, but failures at action. We can be so good at feeling bad about our moments, and we don't go out and walk it out by the power of God. And that happens through a daily abiding in Jesus. I can't do it on my own. I have to have Jesus. I have to have him working in my heart every day. And for me to sit down with him and say, God, be king, be Lord of my heart, call the shots today, because with you in charge, I'm a good father. With you in charge, I'm a good husband. I can be a pastor. I can respond to people. But if you're not in charge, I'm trying to do this thing on my own, and it's impossible for me to live righteous on my own. So let's go into a verse, I think, that will help us be a stepping stone in how to take this from seeing our exposed issues. And I want you today, as we're walking through this, be thinking about what is it, what are the relationships that you want to see changed? I want you to keep those in mind, because I believe God's going to work in that at the end of today to help us begin to be set free and see a shift in relationships. This is in Proverbs 4:20 through 27. It says this: my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Let's pause right there. God's saying his words, his way, is not only life, but it's health to your entire body, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He brings health when we let his word work in us. Keeps going. It says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. That's a ton to think about. And if that was up to me to remember to do all that every single day, I would be like, what was the first one again? Like, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to process all of that and simultaneously walk it out. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is what begins to see this begin to happen inside my life. He says that if you come to him, rivers of living water will flow from within. And how many know if there's a river flowing from inside out, the process is an inside out process. And it begins to wash you from the inside out, right? It's not changing your actions first, and then your heart changes. It's not God changing your circumstances first, and then you're going to be more patient. He works from the inside out. And as we allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, it begins to flow like a river. And how many of you guys know, if you think about a mountain spring, you can't force impurities back into the spring that's coming out of the ground. It's just pushing pure water out the whole time. But it washes everything past that. So when our source, when our core is Christ, then he's not afraid of your impurities and my impurities. Because his blood covered all of it. Isn't that good? Like, no matter what darkness is in my heart, and the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all else, who can know it? But he chooses to dwell there and to put his living water there, so it begins to flow out and make you more like Christ. And as he washes you clean with that pure water, you become free. You become joyful. It becomes your natural state to be patient and to be peaceful instead of full of anxiety and stress. This is what it means to let God, you become more like Christ and begin to live fully alive and shining bright as we believe is the call for every single believer. Is it possible that as Christians, one of the reasons there's impurity inside of us is we do not do a good job of guarding our hearts? You know, if you think about a city with walls, there are more doors, access points into my city now for impurities, for lust, for those kind of things than there used to be. I have it on my phone. I have the access to things that could be impurity. I have media all around me throwing thoughts and throwing ideas and worldview and all those things at me. I have a lot of noise in our life. A lot of noise, a lot of input, right? And the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. But half the time as Americans, we don't even know what stillness feels like. But God wants you to learn how to guard that place of stillness. Because he really does want you to abide in peace. And it really is possible for believers. Because the peace says, peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give. Don't let your heart be troubled or let it be afraid. And he says things like, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We feel like that's being impractical. Who doesn't worry? Jesus. It's a good answer, the Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. But when Jesus is inside of you, guess what? It says Christ makes his home in your heart and peace begins to reign. Peace like a river. You know, when you're at peace, I bet you become a fantastic mother or father. When you have peace dwelling in your heart, you become a much better husband or wife, much better co-worker, much better son or daughter. Isn't it true? But when the enemy can steal our peace, it's really hard for us to have patience, to have love, to have kindness. Jesus said, I give you peace as a gift. You don't muster it up. You don't work for it. You take it as a gift. You receive it, and you let it dwell in you. And in that place, all that stuff we just talked about, being about paying attention to your words, your mouth, your eyes, all that begins to happen because Christ is in you. And when, you know, honestly, there's things that, the eyes, the Bible says the eyes are a doorway to the heart. And as adults, can I just get real? We try to filter our kids watch, but we don't worry about filtering what we watch. And we wonder why there's impurity in our heart. I think it affects us more than we realize. My kids watched this one cartoon a while back. We had them watching it, and because I thought it was funny. I was like, one cartoon I can stand that our kids watch. But it had these kids that were really, really smart, and the parents were really dumb. And these kids could like just nail their parents and the kid leave them speechless, right? Well, we watched several episodes of this and I started seeing a difference in how my kids reacted to me. And I didn't connect the dots for a while, but it was in prayer one time God said, you need to have them stop watching that show because they're becoming wise in their own eyes. The Bible says kids can become they're wise in their own eyes and you need to train the foolishness from their heart through discipline. And we stopped watching and guess what? Over their attitude began to shift. How many of you guys realize, maybe you don't, but I'm telling you, the TV shows, the media you watch affects you just as much as it affects your kids. Guard your heart. The conversations you have at the office, the gossip, it says interesting things in this verse. It says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. These are all heart issues. When he said in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, the next four verses are how to do that. Keep your mouth free of adversity. Guard what comes out of your heart. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's in about your mouth is Luke 6:45, if you want to look it up later. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He talks about the eyes because they're a window to your soul. You guys know sometimes what goes into our eyes and what goes into our ears, we can't filter it. It's there forever. I can't unsee something, can I? Now, God's grace and his blood, he can help me forget things of my past. But it's only by a supernatural miracle that can happen. It's not in my own strength. So I have to guard my eyes and I have to guard my ears. And you know what? The music we listen to has the same effect. I'm meddling a little bit today, but it's for a reason. You know, when they've done that, I listen to pretty much almost all worship music. I liked my boys and I liked some Christian rap and some different things, but there's a different atmosphere when you put on different music in your house. So almost every morning we turn on worship music. We start our day, there's worship music in our living room, and our kids come out and it's an atmosphere of peace and of praise. And I do my quiet time right there in front of the boys so they can see me spending time with Jesus. And it's just a way of, I used to go down to my prayer room and God's like, they need to start their day with me just as much as you do. And so I just started opening my quiet time, and usually I end up with one or two boys in my lap and my Bible in between them, but I love it. And I have usually more time in the evening that's just my time with Jesus, but that's so important that we allow Jesus to change the atmosphere around our life. And it comes in through all those methods, all those ways, music, media, books, our whatever we input is going to come out. Does that make sense? And it's going to affect relationships. Lisa, do you want to come up and share? Lisa's going to come up and share some stuff that God, we were talking about this together, and I just really felt like her perspective was going to be really valuable for all of us. And then we're going to, I'm going to share one more quick thing, and then we're going to close.
You know, sometimes when God starts showing us things in our hearts, it feels a little ugly, doesn't it? I've been there. And I really value what Pastor Eli shared, though, because it's real. And you guys know me, many times I come up here, I don't have anything to hide. I like real life. I want to hear how things really are. Don't candy coat it, just tell me like it is. But sometimes when God shows me the realness of something ugly on the inside, it's like, ooh, ouch. And I've really learned over the last few years as I've cried out to God, Lord, give me a clean heart, that sometimes that means he's going to bring up junk to deal with in my heart. And sometimes, like Pastor Eli shared some funny things, those things might show up when, for me, because I'm a mom, like somebody spills a whole box of cereal all over the floor. That's a moment, right, where the test is what's really inside my heart. What's really inside my heart? Do I berate? Do I yell? Do I become angry? Or do I react in kindness like that's an accident, and I'm sorry you made the accident, and now let's clean it up together, let's figure this out. But sometimes the enemy also uses those opportunities, and this is what I've really found in my life, is he'll catch those moments, and then he'll be like, Elisa, you're such a bad mom. You yelled, you lost your temper again, and then my personality is to take those, he could say one line to me like that, and then for the rest of the day, I just lay on the guilt, man. Elisa, come on. Pull it together. That's not who you really want to be. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done this. You know, instead of allowing God to just use that little glimpse of something inside of me that he wants to change, yeah. I try and, like, be angry at myself because somehow that's going to help. Has anybody ever done that? It's this horrible, horrible downward spiral. But I found myself there. Or maybe God, in his goodness, brings up a sin or something from my past, and he brings it up because he's kind, and he wants to wash me. He wants to cleanse me. And what I found when those things come up, whether it's a circumstance that something rises up in me, I'm like, ooh, that is not who I want to be, or it's a sin or a mistake just inside that God's brought up, I found that if I can turn to God instantly, the arms of my Father are so kind, and they're so gentle. And over the last few years, as I've just really continuously sought God, Lord, change me to be more like you, because I sure as heck can't change myself. It doesn't work. I've just found Psalm 51 has just become my mantra. And here's some of the verses, and I probably say this daily to myself and just claiming it. But this is David writing, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." When the enemy attacks or something comes up and I feel like I've messed up too many times or I'm just dirty, I have begun to learn, thankfully, to stand up right away and say, "I'm sorry, Satan, that's not the truth." Truth is, I am clean.
That's right.
In fact, the power of Jesus' blood has washed me. And he hasn't just washed me a little bit. He's washed me whiter than snow.
Amen.
There's no word for how white he can wash me.
That's good.
We can only say it's whiter than the whitest, cleanest thing that we know on earth, which is snow. He has washed me with snow. I'm bought by his blood. I'm bought with a price. I'm a child of God. I belong to him. And yes, there are things in me that need to be changed. So God, please change them. And don't leave me in this place. And only God can change the atmosphere of our hearts. Only God can create a clean heart. We can't purify ourselves. We can't create a clean heart in ourselves. But Jesus can, you guys. And I just think if we over and over will learn to respond to him when he brings this stuff up, instead of wallow in it or just shove it in the closet, close the door, and hope for goodness sake nobody else pushes that button again. If we will bring it to him, he is good. He wants us to be more like him. That's his heart. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've ever felt some of those ways that I felt, that run to Jesus. Don't run away from the problem. Don't run away from the sin. Run away from the sin, but don't run up away from dealing with it. Because when we're willing to deal with God, with what God brings up, he can transform us to be more like him. And that's where we really all want to be.
Awesome. Thanks, Lydia. I should just let her finish. We're a team. She's put us together for a good reason. She's amazing. I feel like the next step, and Chet, if you want to just come on up and join me, that'd be awesome. Is for, what we're talking about today is I talked about relational atmosphere. And there are real issues, real challenges in our relationships that we want to see change. And whether that's your relationship to your parents and some difficulties there, or even with your kids, or with coworkers, or with your spouse, or even with a broken relationship, an ex or anything like that, God has a way that he wants to heal us. He does want to change and improve and break through in those relationships, but it starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with us and him. That first relationship becoming primary. And as we do that, I believe God wants to begin to set us free. Set us free. And then we're going to begin to see the atmosphere around us change. As you deal with that speck or log in your eye, in your heart, all of a sudden you watch what happens with that relationship that you're praying about breakthrough. And so we're going to take a moment, and I feel like God's given me a specific word for a few people, but to take a moment to let the Holy Spirit bring up those issues. That relationship, it starts with, okay, God, here's my relationship problem. I see the problem really clearly, but I don't see my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart, as it says in Psalm 51 or Psalm 139. It says, search me. I'm not just asking you to fix them. I'm asking you to search me. Change me first. And then I'm gonna release them. I'm gonna forgive them, and I'm gonna let you take care of them. But I wanna deal with me first. You know, the atmosphere I've realized, and what I just felt like God had a specific word for dads in this place. I've realized the atmosphere of my home is directly related to the atmosphere of my heart. And I think there's some dads in here today that you're realizing that you've wanted to raise your kids to follow the Lord, but you don't see a lot of fruit. You don't see them walking with Jesus, or you don't see it happening. And you know what you want. You take them to church, you do all those things, but I think today you're realizing that maybe you're more part of the problem than you realized. As I've realized, God wants to change me first. And sometimes we can preach something that we don't practice. We can preach a sermon and not be the sermon. But God's inviting you. This is not to condemn you. This is not to make you feel like a bad person. But he's inviting you into a new level of relationship and freedom with him. Sometimes it's going to be breaking through things that your parents did to you. And generational curses that can be broken today. And I don't think that, maybe this isn't just for dads. I think this is for anybody who's challenged. There's a relationship in your life that you want to see fixed. You want God to fix them, but maybe he needs to heal you so that your kids can be set free. Break that generational curse with you so that they don't have to even deal with it. And I believe that's something, if I can just, we're going to sing a song here, but let's just all stand. And I believe today God wants to restore families. Families are under attack. And one of the main ways he attacks is through the father. And it, maybe you're a single mom and you're getting those attacks now on you. I believe God wants to restore marriages. He wants to heal relationships. And where we've blamed others for pushing our buttons, he wants to do surgery, remove the buttons, so that you can become an agent of reconciliation and peace in that relationship. Can I have the prayer team come up? I just believe there's some people that maybe you need someone to pray with you to break through some of these things that you've dealt with, whether it's a sin issue that you realize, man, I've wanted them to change, but now I'm seeing the anger in my heart. And now I'm seeing all of a sudden that it's connected to my dad and how he treated me, or to some abuse, or to something like that. And if you need prayer during this worship song, I want to invite you just to come up, partner with somebody. Again, this is the place to be real. This is the place to let God in, let him deal with it. It's being exposed to be set free, not to feel condemned. Conviction, there's a specific thing here he's dealing with, and he wants to set you free. So we're gonna sing this last worship song. If you want ministry, please come on up and get, even during the song, and get prayer. And the rest of us, let's worship God. And there's maybe as you worship, he's gonna show you some things, and you can lay him down. Don't let, like Elisa said, don't let the enemy just make you feel like a bad person and walk out of here. It's not God's plan. He's saying, okay, let's. He exposes things to the light to deal with them. He opens those closets of your heart to clean them out. And by his miraculous power, we're set free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Let's worship.
God asks us to come to him when we are broken and weary. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I've had a broken and weary week. And God just promised us that he's going to give us rest. And today, I just want you to let those chains fall. Let him loosen them. Let him unwrap your heart and just let those chains fall, because he will give you rest. He'll bring it to you.
Great message, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, the prayer team is still up front. If you need prayer for any reason today, come up front and get prayer. Don't leave here broken, hurt, damaged. Jesus is here, as was said before. Have a blessed day and have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.